Welcome to How Now, the podcast where we talk about how to live in the now. And here's your host, Kim Martin Raymond.
And blessings, and welcome to this edition of the How Now podcast, where we talk about how to live in the now. I am your host, Kim Martin Raymond. I'm a minister, spiritual life coach, health and wellness and nutrition awareness coach, and author and founder of Redefining You LLC, where I help my clients to realign themselves, mind, body, and spirit. And welcome to the How Now podcast. If this is your first time joining us, welcome to the How Now family. Make sure that you go to my website, www.hownowpodcast.com, and click on your favorite podcast platform to find out what's happening in the now. You can also scroll to the bottom of the screen and you'll see the banner for this week's show. And if you click on that, it will take you to the How Now YouTube channel, where you can like, follow, share, and subscribe as well. And make sure you hit the notification bell so you always know what's happening in the now. Again, that's www.hownowpodcast.com. All right, so let's get into today's show, where we're going to be talking about the gift of opportunities. Okay, we know that, you know, so many things happen around us. There are so many opportunities for us to meet new people, to connect in different ways. But what do we do with those opportunities? Do we know what to do with them when they come up? Sometimes opportunities look different. They may look like a tragedy, or they may look like something powerful or successful, but what do we do when those opportunities come? You know, there's that saying, you know, don't look a gift horse in the mouth. You know, do we recognize these things when they happen? And more importantly, are we prepared to act when they happen and not react, but respond? And that's something that's important to consider when we talk about opportunities. Do we react in a negative way, or do we see an opportunity for what it is and then respond accordingly? And to help me to go through the weeds of what it means to experience the gift of opportunities is my lovely guest. And of course, as is customary with the How Now podcast, I'm going to have her to introduce herself at this time. Take it away.
Thank you, Kim. It is so great to be here, by the way. You are a joy to listen to. My name is Gretchen Skalka, and I am a career strategist and personal leadership development coach. And so what I do is I work with people pretty much on that exact thing. I help people find, as I say, the advantage in the adversity that they may be facing, what they perceive to be a challenge that they don't think they can get through or get over. And we work to find exactly what you said, the opportunity in there, the gift and the opportunity in the challenge. Awesome. And yeah, I'm so happy to be here.
Yeah, I am excited that you are here too. You are a joy. You know, we had the opportunity to meet not too very long ago, and I am so thrilled that you are here to talk about this, because, you know, think about it. We talk about in situations that happen come opportunities. What bigger opportunity or what bigger situation than the pandemic? You know, we know that, you know, the world seemed to stop for a minute. You know, we always talk about, you know, stop the world, I want to get off. Well, it stopped for a minute. And we were like, okay, now what? You know, what did we do with that situation? So I want to kind of start there. Let's just talk about some of the things that you were doing prior to the pandemic, and then how we got to this space. Were you doing the type of work that you're doing prior to the pandemic, or did this happen as a result?
So I've actually been doing this in various forms since about 2009. So I've been doing this as a freelancer while I worked my corporate marketing job. I was a corporate marketing director. And so before the pandemic, that's what I did. But alongside that, I worked with people to help them develop, you know, sort of coping strategies, if you will, related to career challenges. It's always been sort of focused on career challenges. What a lot of people would bring to me as manifesting as a challenge in their career was really rooted in many areas of their life that was just sort of coming to fruition in their career. And so I did that for a lot of years. And the pandemic was an interesting timing-wise, because right before the pandemic, about 2 months before, we moved into this house. And that was the culmination of almost a 2-year challenge, if you will, a struggle. Our house blew up in 2018, September the 12th, 2018. So that was one of several challenges, adversities that I've faced. And when you're in it, it's very difficult to say, okay, there's a gift and opportunity here. But in doing that and really practicing and making that, you know, a part of your everyday thing, okay, let me break this down and really look at this. What can I take from this? And getting through that was a series of doing that. And again, it's a practice. You have to do this every day. Whatever's presenting to you is, okay, how can I sort of flip it on its head and turn around and really see what I'm not seeing here? What can I take from this? And when that happened, again, we were homeless for almost 2 years, because we settled the lawsuit with the insurance company in November, and we moved in here that month. And 2 months later, I started seeing news about this virus and this, that, and the other. And then by February, things locally started closing.
Right.
And by March, everything was closed right. in the world. And so when that happened too, all the, you know, sort of in-person work, you know, going to the office every day, meeting with my team and meeting with my client, that was no longer a possibility. So now you have to really think about, how can we continue to do this? We still need personal touch, personal outreach. Right. That human connection is everything. And the entire world went through that. The entire world realized that the human connection part of it, we've got to figure it out. So Zoom and Google Meets and all those things, that connectivity that we found, but we found it globally. And it was one of those moments where, and those little things that people were doing, like, you know, serenading the emergency and the frontliners, you right. know, the first responders, and those every right. night at a certain time, like those were beautiful moments, but they were also a testimonial to how important it is to be a part of more than just ourselves. It's incredibly important. And I also think that's where all opportunity can also present itself, where you may not see it, but somebody else may be able to help guide you to it. Yeah. And I certainly found a lot of that. But right before the pandemic, I was doing this, but in a modified version. I was still working my corporate job. And yeah. so, but I've been doing this for a long time. Yeah.
Oh my goodness. Okay, so look, we're not going to speedball past the fact that she said that her house blew up.
Yeah.
Okay, let's just start there.
Yeah.
Because, yeah, what do you mean your house blew up? I mean,
yeah, it's a moment, again, as they say, like one of those moments that you can't forget. But it was September the 12th, 2018. I had just gotten home from work. So it was a little bit after 6:30. I was running late getting home from work. And my husband was cooking. So he's in the kitchen. Our front door at the time, when you opened it, you could see straight line into the kitchen. There was a big picture window in the back of the kitchen. You could see the backyard. My brain picked up on the fact that there was smoke in the backyard, but my like processing really didn't process what it meant. So I'm having a conversation with Steve. He's literally cooking noodles in a pot on the stove. And then all of a sudden things started to pop off the walls, and we had a ceiling fan in the living room, which was right here to me, like off to the right with a light on, and it fell and it hit the table below it. And I just said, get out, get out, get out. Because it was happening everywhere. And so we ran out, and you could still hear things happening in there. And there was a fire in the attic, and the fire department, our neighbors called, and the fire department, the police came and everything. And what happened was I live in South Florida, where a lot of the communities have power lines underground because of hurricanes. But we also, in the neighborhood we were in, there was a high transmission power line that ran the length of our whole community. And so it didn't feed our neighborhood, but it fed several off to the side and a hospital and some other things. One of the lines just fell. It fell off the you know, they have the four that are connected and it just fell. And on its way to the ground, it shaved the metal, the chain link fence in our backyard, and it electrified the fence, and it sent the current from the fence to the back porch, like the screen metal porch, up the gutters and through the house. And that was that.
Wow. Yep. Okay. And I mean, as soon as I would have seen things start to shake, I would have thought, oh, it's earthquake, you know, things are falling off, things are shaking. I would have never thought, oh my goodness, my house is about to blow up.
Yeah, because it was the way that they pop, like there was like this blue kind of light blue, almost teal colored light that you could see, but you could also hear it. And it was electrical, like things were literally popping off. And there were like, you could just like, I remember Steve was running and there was a plug near the floor. And you know how the ones are like about a foot off the floor.
Yes.
And it exploded, right? And he was jumping over it. And I'm like, let's go, let's go. So yeah, it was, I'll never, ever forget it. And even the fire department, they came back after a couple of days because they wanted to get pictures of the burn lines and this, right, that, and the other. And the guy said, he goes, we need him for training. We've never seen anything like this. And I'm like, I love the fact that there are breakthroughs in, but I don't want to be one, like, right, in training. Right. Like, right, I don't want to be the reason, right, but yeah, yeah.
Oh my goodness. And so it's like you said, how in the world would you be able to see opportunity in that? They saw an opportunity to use it as a source of training.
Absolutely.
You know? And I'm sure, yep, that, you know, as a homeowner, you're like, but that's at my expense. Because it's like you mentioned, you are homeless for 2 years.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. And also, I'll also tell you this, in addition to that, so the stress that something like that can produce, not just that you don't have any of your things, but you have nowhere to live. So very quickly you realize, I have to, where am I going to, you know, lay my head at night?
Right.
I have to figure that out. I also have to find a place that is furnished in some way because I don't have anything. And in South Florida in September, we're getting into what they call season, where the snowbirds come down. There was nothing available. So that was a challenge. And then also you have to pay mortgage on a house you can't live in. So all those things factored in, and immediately, even with a full-time corporate job, I was at the height of my corporate career. And I've said this to people, you know, you can be homeless without you, circumstances will happen to you, even when you have a great job and all these other things, like from the outside, everything looks good, but circumstances will happen. And so what do you do with that? And so what I started doing was I started doing sort of, you know, framework thinking, sort of, I had to put a structure around it. And, you know, if you think about like, what is it? The Eisenhower matrix, where it's that immediate and important, like in that top box,
right?
What do I need to do right now? And Maslow's hierarchy right at the bottom, safety, security. I got it. I have to fill these needs. So what do I do with that? Where do I go? And then that's the first step. And then, okay, now I could take the next step. And I'll tell you something, the opportunity really in that area was opening myself up to help from other people.
Oh yeah.
Because, and even with small things that happen, if you can't, if you're not quite sure how to do it or who can help you, just open yourself up to it. And I discovered that my company had a lot of resources I never knew about that could help. And so as soon as I realized they had the EAP, the Employee Assistance Program, where I could find a lawyer, I could, like, all these things, I started telling other people, did you know we had this? I didn't know we had this, and this is great. And so that sends a ripple out of people like, I needed, wow, I didn't know we could do that.
Right.
So that was one thing. And then people would step up and say, what can I do for you? How can I help you? People found us places to stay with friends and other. So for, you know, we were able to find places until season was over and we could find a place. We actually had to sign a lease, and that was daunting because I'm like, well, what if I settle the lawsuit? And I don't know, but you learn to make those decisions. And so the opportunity really there was to, you know, one, have the confidence and the trust in yourself to know you can do this. You can do this. Right. It's going to be hard. Right. It's not going to be easy. Right. Life is always going to take what you do and go, you sure about that? Now I messed it up. Now what are you going to do with it? And so you can look at that and say, okay, well, what can I do with that now? What can I do with this now? And I don't think I realized it at the time, but we were in how much it would mean to me. The first place we found to stay after the hotel, some friends of my husband's found it. We could only stay there for 3 months, but it was like 3 months. And Kim, we got there and it was one of those, like, it was in Jupiter, Florida. And it was one of those sort of quad apartments where you have, it's a straight up. So the bedroom's upstairs and the kitchen's downstairs and all that. And the lady who owned it, she let us stay there. And she had one of those desks that you open up and the thing comes down. And, and so she was looking for something one day. She was over there and she said, oh, can you run up and get me an envelope out of the desk? And I'm like, okay. And she goes, just open the doors. And it's right in there. I'd never thought to open this desk. And when I did, she had like a gel pen or something, but there were all these positive sayings that she had etched on there. And wow. This townhouse was like so interesting because that immediately, I just started reading them and I was like, this is exactly what I needed to hear. All this, like, you've got this, you can do like all these kind of things. And it was just the whole vibe and her vibe was very much like that. It was almost like I was meant to encounter her in some way.
Yeah.
But it was also where Jupiter sits. It's very close to the beach. I've lived in Florida for 29 years, but I'm not a frequenter of the beach just because right. It's a little distant to go there. But it was so close, we did. And for something so stressful to have happened, the very first place that friends found us to be able to stay was in one of the most tranquil areas I could have asked for. What a gift.
Yeah.
Because if you're stressed out, go sit and just close your eyes and listen to the water.
Yeah.
There's something about it, yeah. You know,
water
and it's one of those
place.
Where I was so grateful. The gratitude that I felt, it was really overwhelming at times because you don't expect it. Right. And I had such an appreciation for it that I started to not only look for those opportunities, but also look where I could create those for myself. Yeah. And I've done that ever since. Yeah. Yeah.
I like that you said that you created them for yourself, because it's important that we create for ourselves before we create for others. Somebody said, others to experience that too. But sometimes, yeah, in order for us to connect, in order for us to build relationships, you know, that connection is through a commonality, something that's happened to both. And so, yes, it's important for us to focus in on making sure that we're doing that. So I love that you said that. You know, I wanted to create more of that for myself, so that you can in turn, you know, create that for others. Now, one thing that I thought was, you know, very poignant that you were talking about, you know, when the whole situation happened, and, you know, I think about, you know, you saying, you know, I was homeless, I didn't know what to do. Sometimes when situations like that strike and you fall upon a hard time, it takes a minute before people realize that something has happened. You were immediately homeless. It didn't mean that you were destitute. Didn't mean that you didn't have the clothes or some of the things that you had. And sometimes people tend to do that. They look at you, well, you don't look like you're in distress. You know, we hear sometimes in certain communities, you know, I don't look like what I've been through. That doesn't mean that you haven't been through it. It didn't happen. Doesn't mean that it's not your reality. But sometimes you'll have those who will look and say, oh, well, you know, nobody's going to help me because I don't look like I need help. Doesn't mean you don't need help. And there's that facade that some people put up, you know, that,
oh, yeah.
Say, oh, how are you doing now? I'm okay. We all know how to put on that face, you know, but it doesn't mean that we aren't experiencing some level of distress. And sometimes
absolutely.
We convince ourselves into thinking that, oh, no, you know, I'm okay. I'm all right. But no, just like you said, I have to be able to open myself up to help.
Yeah.
And so many of us are proud and are just I can't possibly ask. Nobody's going to help me. But just like you said, if you had not opened yourself to what was out there, you would have missed all of those opportunities.
And I learned I had to learn how to do that. And I actually had help with that because the house happening in 2018 was sort of not the tail end, but sort of 4 years of just amazingly challenging things that started with in 2014, my mom got injured in a hot air balloon accident, or I gave that my parents a hot air balloon ride for their 50th wedding anniversary, and their landing didn't go well. And my mom was badly injured in that. And, that was a whole ordeal in that. That was October 25th of 2014. December 7th, my niece, my 14-year-old niece, Sydney, committed suicide. And that particular incident, they live in Alabama, and I was driving back and forth to help my mom. And then when things happened with Sydney, my older sister was out of helping anybody.
Right.
For obvious reasons. And I know you can understand that. And so I'm driving back and forth, trying to help. And my team and the people I worked with were like, you need help. And I did the exact thing you said. No, I've got it. I've got it. I've got it. I've got this. I've got that. I'm juggling everything. I'm doing everything. Everything's great. Everything's great. And I was doing that dance. And one of the people she's a friend of mine. And she said, you're not doing it all. You're not doing great. You are strung out. You are so stressed. I can see it in you. And I just started to cry. I'm like, I don't know what to do. I felt like I had to fix an unfixable situation.
So
that was something where I was resistant to the help. I was like, no, I don't need it. I can do it. And she was like, no, you can't. It's okay. And I needed somebody with that safe space to say, girl, you don't have this. You don't have it.
Right.
And that was very helpful because that also helped me be more present for other people and realize where I could do that for them. What a gift she gave me. And so that was really helpful because 2014, you know, it was a hard end of that year. And then 2015, my mom was rehabbing her shoulder. You know, she'd had bilateral shoulder surgery, all this stuff. And that December, she was doing well. She was doing great. And she could raise both arms over her shoulders, which they said she'd never be able to do. And in December of that year, she didn't feel well. They found a shadow on one lung when she went to the doctor. That was December of 2015. She died January 12th, 2016. It was very quick. And so that, the beginning of that year, obviously for my dad now, you know, they'd been married forever and that was very difficult for him. And my little sister had moved in with him because she had been widowed in 2005. And so she, you know, knew what that was like, not from 50 years, but she was able to help him. And he didn't realize he needed help, but she did. And it was, you know, really good that she was there. So that's how 2016 started. And then December the 9th, 2016, my dad was hit by a train driving to get the mail at the post office. Now, they live way out, and my parents bought a house way out in the country in Alabama. So you have to go down a dirt road, cross railroad tracks, go up another dirt road before you ever see pavement. How he didn't hear the train, we still don't know. Norfolk Southern was never able to tell us, but he spent 9 days in trauma. He's still with us. He survived. But that was, you know, again, a lot of us pulling together and then people helping us, our support network. It was growing, and it was very important that we accepted it, that we understood that it does not make you weak to take help. It does. Being vulnerable is a strength. It is a strength that I don't think people realize they have. And you can learn so much more about yourself and finding those gifts and opportunities in those challenges. It so many times you can find them, but sometimes people show them to you. And what a gift other people are. And so that 2016 was definitely another end of the year. The holidays are difficult for us to this day. And then 2017, my husband in February had, it was supposed to be, you know, minor heart surgery to sort of repair a mitral valve that was brushing and not closing. And he didn't wake up for 6 days after his surgery. They could not wake him up. Every time they tried to bring him out, his ventricles stopped squeezing. And so they had to put him back under. And so he, on the sixth day, they tried it again. And he, when they woke him up, he was still on the ventilator for like another half day. He didn't recognize me. He didn't recognize his son. He didn't know where he was, why he was there. He had to go to a rehab hospital inside the hospital for another month. And then he had rehab after. And he ended up retiring later that year. It was just too much. That surgery changed a lot. And that was a big challenge for a lot of, and still is. We still deal with a lot of things from that. But the opportunity there was to rethink our relationship. And, you know, we sort of had that traditional, you know, he's going to do certain things, I'm going to do certain things. Right. And a lot of that changed. And a lot of my understanding about me and what I, you know, how I can help other people. There was the third day he didn't wake up. I remember, you know, visiting hours are over. They kick you out of cardiac ICU at a very specific time. And I got home and I just started crying. I was like, I can't, if I don't know how many more times I can come home alone. And out of the blue, a friend of mine called and she was like, you know, can you talk? And Sharon Thompson. And I said, I don't think I can talk. And I'm like, you know, hyperventilating, like the whole thing
right,
when you're,
right,
you're
right, right.
I don't think I, and she goes, okay, well, let me talk. And she just started just, you know, talking about just all the, like this great day we had. And do you remember this? And we took a walk and we did that. And I'm like, yeah, I remember. And it just changed my frame of mind enough that I could calm down and really think about things differently. And then she started asking me questions. Can I come spend time with you at the hospital tomorrow? What are you going to, you know, how are you eating? Things like that. And that also was another example of the opportunity to reframe something and start thinking about it differently. And that helped when he finally did wake up and we were, you know, every day going to the rehab hospital inside Delray Medical Center and seeing the work that he was doing and the progress he was making and all that really helped. And, you know, 2017 was, you know, that by the fall of that year, things were starting to feel almost normalized again. And so, you know, that was, you know, my gratitude project for that year was the next year was like 2018 is going to be our year. It's the year. Nothing's going to go wrong. And it was a great year. It started out great. We took a great vacation, me, Steve, and Chris, and I got a promotion at work and it was a really good year. Mm-hmm. And then September came and the house blew up and it was just like, okay. But by that time I had enough, like, in rapid succession,
right,
enough things happened that forced me to think about things in a different way, calm myself down, slow my roll, like really don't, right, like you said, don't overreact. Don't let yourself get so stressed out that you overreact or react in a way that's not in your own best interest. And mm-hmm. that's really hard to do. Mm-hmm. But once you can learn how to do it, and try to do those reframes and think about the positives and think about the what ifs, you know, what, you know, I was talking to somebody that I was working with, a client, and they had lost their job. And I said, exactly this. I was like, okay, well, what are the benefits we can take from this? What are the opportunities here? And he was rightly, you know, a little taken aback. He goes, there are no benefits. I've lost my job. I don't have an income. I've lost my job. And I said, okay. I said, I get it. You love that job. You loved everything about that job. You loved your boss. You loved going in every day. Well, no, I mean, they had this dumb absentee policy and this wow. vacation request policy. And my boss was like, I never got a break. And I'm like, okay, well, you don't have to deal with that anymore, huh?
Right.
And he's like, well, yeah, but I mean, I see what you're doing. I said, those are like the ha-ha ones, but there are other things in there that you don't have to deal with. All that time that you now have back in your day to think about and start to strategize about how to find and go after what it is that you do want. And yeah. that can start by reaching out to people you already have in your network at work, the work you had. It doesn't have to be a thing in the past. You don't have to completely sever all ties. That's your network. Reach out to them. There yeah. is opportunity there. And sometimes it's just that subtle reframe that sometimes can seem kind of ridiculous when you first mention right. it to people. They're like, well, yeah, I mean, no, nobody wants to have that kind of boss. But, you know, you think about it, it doesn't really, and it's hard. It's a hard thing to wrap, you know, kind of thought around for some yeah. folks. But even in the worst of things, you can find something. You know, when Sydney died, I realized that my older sister, who was like so strong, she was the one, she was the smartest, she was the strongest, nothing ever got to Jennifer. And I realized that she was somebody, I didn't know her very well. And I got to know her and there was a real soft side to Jennifer that she never let anybody see. And she started to let them see that side of her. And You don't have to love the reason why. You hate the reason why. But the opportunity there is something that you can have forever. And it's always been there. But you may have just had to, how you discover it can happen in the face of adversity. But if you discover it, you can keep it forever. It's a gift for life.
Mm. Yeah. And that's powerful. That's powerful. Something that you said that was powerful that I wrote down. And like I said, vulnerability is a strength.
It is.
It is almost a superpower because, you know, we have to be able to be open to it. You know, just like we were talking about, you know, the passing of your mom, and again, my condolences there, and your sister being able to support your dad, you know, after the loss of her spouse.
Yep.
You know, I think about that, and, you know, it reminds me of when my daughter passed, and yep. then a year later, I lost my brother, and I was able to help my mom. So there are opportunities and things, and sometimes what happens is we focus on the negative aspect of what happened, like you said, mm-hmm. that we missed the opportunity to say, okay, this happened, or the rapid succession of things that happened in your experience, you know, mm-hmm. you could have said, oh my goodness, here we go again. You know, yep. Hey, you know, you put your fist up to God, I mean, you know, am I ever going to catch a break? You know, am I, when is it going to be my turn? Is it, I thought this was going to be my year, and then here we go again. But yeah. Yeah, like you said, it's so important that in all of these lessons that, or these experiences that we have, that we've learned how to respond again and not react to what happens, so that, yes. that it takes the negativity out of it. And like you said, and brings up that clarity of saying, okay, you know, not that I've necessarily been here before, but I know what it feels like to have a situation happen. And I was able to go back, you know, I'm always saying this, and I say this just about all of my shows with that toolbox. Now I've got toolbox. Okay, something happened. I have a resource. Wait a minute, I have a resource. You know, when the situations got a little sticky earlier, there were certain people that I was able to connect with. There were, you know, so there are opportunities for me to be able to reach back and reconnect with those people. You know, there are opportunities for me to know that there is light at the end of the tunnel, because I've been in situations that have been harrowing before, but here I am, and I'm still standing. I refuse to lay down, you know, so I'm still standing, you know, and it just shows that there's a resiliency. There's that opportunity to know that my resiliency will be tested, but I'm going to be able to overcome. I'm going to be able to, I'm not going to lay down and be buried under circumstance.
Exactly. And I think that's important, because life is always going to have challenges. There are always going to be things, those, you know, those uh-ohs that you can't see coming that are just going to happen. And it's not about stopping them, because you can't. You can't, you know, none of that is something that you can architect in the world. But how you process it and how you accept it and interpret it and work with it, that is up to you. And you and having the skills to be able to do that, and just understanding it, even just starts with the understanding of, I can do this. I don't know how, but I'm gonna figure it out.
Right.
And then you go from there. And that's all you need to do, because no one's ever gonna not have adversity. It's gonna happen in some way, shape, or form. It can be small, like when I spilled super glue on a blouse that I really loved, and I thought, oh, this is terrible. I love this blouse. And then I realized it's below the camera line. We do a lot on Zoom these days. So I actually don't have to throw that blouse out.
Right.
And I can put a blazer over it if I go out and wear it outside. So all good.
Right.
So that small, little benign things, but even up to the big things where, you know, when you're trying to figure out, like when dad got hit by the train.
Yeah.
And I remember that one because, I mean, obviously, but I remember being in the hospital, and I got to UAB, and he was in the trauma unit, and they let me in because I was his daughter, but you can only have so many people there. So if I go in, Kirsten has to come out. She didn't want to come out because she was like, I'm staying with him. And I said, I'm on my phone. I said, okay, well, I'm here. I'm outside, and only one of us can be in there. How long have you been in there? Well, I've been in here since they let me in, you know, since he got out of surgery. And I was like, okay, so that's been a while. You need a break. You know, when was the last time you had a shower? When was the last time you ate? Like, you know, let's think about this.
Right.
I said, you know what? Don't, it's not forever, you know, but give yourself, you know, an hour and a half, go home, get a shower, come back. And then, you know, I'll leave and I'll go get you something to eat, like that. So we'll hand off, but you need to do this. And that was really helpful because it helped her. She also needed help. You know, he got hit, but she was immediately impacted. She, you know, she has taken care of him ever since. She's, you know, she moved in right after mom died. So it was incredibly important to know that you can be, you know, of service to people. Like, you see the world in terms greater than yourself, and you understand that you can be the gift for somebody else, just like they are for you.
Yeah.
You know, she was for him. She is to this day for him. Like, she just makes everything so much more possible for him. I honestly believe that she saved his life just by being there, because I think he would have given up without mom.
Yeah.
And so those other people, those touch points, help. And again, being vulnerable, it is a strength because it's a sign of humanity. Yeah. You know, it's your humanness showing through. And when you can be strong enough in your conviction of who you are and your sense of self to let that vulnerability show to other people and be okay with it, that is strength. That is, and it is not easy to do for, and most people, it's very hard to do.
Yeah,
and like you said, when you first opened the show, we're so used to being trained to be like, everything's fine. It's all good. Mm-hmm. It's great. Fine. Mm-hmm. Fine. Mm-hmm. And when it's not, you know, when behind these eyes are like sleepless nights and, you know, anxiety and all these other things. So
you feel like people are going to see it as a sign of weakness, you know, you can't deal with it. You can't cope. You know, I love that your coworkers knew enough about you and who you are as a person to say, you know, they didn't say, we're going to call HR because we think that she's not stable and that she may not be able to be a leader in this organization or to be a person of influence because she's unstable. No, they saw like, okay, you know, she needs some assistance.
Yeah.
She needs some help. And you know, like you said, sometimes when we're put in a certain position or we hold a certain role or a certain title, we just think we can't be anything but that. And then if we divert to the left or to the right of what that is and what we think people expect us to be, that we're showing signs of weakness. We can't handle it, and it's far from the truth, because, you know, just like you said, it's our humanness.
Yes.
And if people don't realize that we're human, they think that we're superhuman, then the expectation is that, okay, all right, Superman, go ahead and handle it. You can do everything, and then we're setting a higher expectation of others, of us, and then that for ourselves. And so it's definitely getting to that point, like you said, of vulnerability, of being able to say, hey, you know, I need this, and that's going to help build resiliency in me. It's going to help me to be able to handle the other adversities that are going to come. It's a tool in my toolbox.
Yes. And it's also a great way to build relationships and trust, because again, letting someone help you says, I trust you enough. I trust you to have my best interests. I know you do. And I want to let you help me. That is a huge gift to other people, because everyone, you know, I mean, everybody wants to be needed, but also, you know, to know that what you have is so valuable and I need it. And I know it. And I'm going to tell you that, you know, it's a huge win for everybody when you can open yourself up to what other people are ready to give you, to help you with. And it's so not a sign of weakness. Yeah.
Yeah. I love that you said that when you were talking about your friend and you said that she said, okay, you don't want to talk, but let me talk.
Yeah.
That was huge. She could have been like, okay, all right. And just been dismissive. Just like, okay, well, you're not ready to talk. Okay. I'll talk to you later.
Yeah.
But she was like, no, let me talk.
Yeah.
And you know, it wasn't like you said, well, listen, you know, I don't feel like it. You were willing to accept what it was that she had to say. And even though she's talking about all the good memories, you know, you could have been like, look, I don't want to talk about that right now. Who cares about us? And who cares about us being in the park? Who cares about that? But no, you were just like, And it helped you to be able to get through that pivotal moment. And so that's where, you know, we look at our inner circle, because those people who know you and know you well know enough to say, okay, they know when to push a little bit, or they know when to step back a little bit.
Yeah.
You know? But they love you with that love that is, you know, it is something that you know, you only experience in rare form through certain people, you know, that circle becomes important, but you've got to let people in. You know, you yes. can't say, you know, it's like saying, you can't say you have an open door policy, but you got your foot on the door.
Right.
You know, exactly. Come on in, but not all the way. We have to be careful, like you said, about those relationships, you know, and there are, yeah, you know, and, you know, of course, being devil's advocate, you know, you can say, yeah, there are a lot of people out there that you have to be leery of. Yes, you don't tell everybody everything. You can't, expose yourself to a point where, you know, you're giving people opportunities to harm you.
Right.
But I also want to make sure that you're not so closed. You know, we all have a certain level of discernment. You know, we can see those red flags, or we can see when something's not quite right. And that's where sometimes we have to be intuitive and follow our intuition and say, okay, maybe not this person, but somebody else. You know, but not where we just, it becomes a blanket emotion where we just like, okay, no, everybody's like that. No, everybody is.
Yeah.
We have to look at each individual. We have to look at each relationship for what it is and say, okay, this is a person that I know that I can speak to about this.
Absolutely. Well,
this person knows enough about who I am and my character to be able to say that, okay, I can come in, I can step in, I can say this and know that she's not going to take offense.
Yes. It's so easy for challenge and adversity to harden people, to let it harden you. And to develop that sort of perspective that everybody's out to get something from me and harm is coming my way. It's easy to be hardened by it, but it's, you know, trusting your gut. And I love that you said that, because that personal intuition, which we're all so, it's so easy for most people to go, no, I'm not, that's just what I'm, you know, it can't be as easy as that or whatever. Like, right. I must be wrong. Cause you know, or I'm a horrible judge of this, or we always do that to ourselves.
Right.
Instead of really, you know, just give it a double look sometimes, give it a double think and say, you know, if I'm really feeling like the pull that this is the right thing to do, or that I need to call this person, or if somebody pops in your head, whatever it is, trust your instinct, trust that gut, go with that. You know, there's a reason that it's there. It's like that sixth sense kind of thing. Mm-hmm. And we're so used to, it's got to be data driven. It's got to be science backed. It's got to be this, that, and the other. And those are important. But at the end of the day, we get up, we go to sleep, we live with ourselves.
That's right.
We don't, but we are not very good at listening to ourselves. And we are talking to ourselves all the time. Our body is giving us signals. That's our right. intuition is there telling us things.
Right.
And we are the first to turn off that frequency, to say, nope, I got to get it from external sources,
right?
But it's all here. And that trusting your gut is so important. Yes.
Like you said, it starts from within. There's so much that happens from within. And again, I love that you talked about humanness, because again, we are spiritual beings living this human experience. So there are going to be human things, that emotions that are going to come. And it's, what do we do with them? What do we do to you know, use them as a means of creating a better version of ourselves? What is it that we're doing? How is it that like I said, that we're showing up?
Yeah.
More importantly, for ourselves, and then how we can show up for others in turn based on those opportunities. You know?
Absolutely. And I think that, like the name of your podcast, How Now, right? So how do you do it right now? Just start. Just try. You know, it's one of those things where there's a breathing technique that it's really effective. 4-4-1, 4-4-4 times 3 rather. And I did something earlier. I was like, here's the 4-1-1 on the 4-4-4, but it's basically, you know, you breathe in for a count of 4, you hold it for a count of 4, you release it for a count of 4, do it 3 times. When you're stressed, when you start to feel yourself, you know, if you're in traffic and that you can feel it, you can feel the heat start to rise.
Yeah.
Just try it. Just how now, start right now. Just try it one time. If you feel stressed, do the 4-4-4, do it 3 times. You will naturally manually lower your heart rate by doing that. When you lower your heart rate, you lower your blood pressure. And when you lower that, you become to get into that calmer, more relaxed state. Yeah. The reason that that's important is because that activates, it helps to activate the part of your brain, that prefrontal cortex, where creativity and problem solving and all those things happen. So when you're in that, when you're so stressed out, you know how you kind of get like tunnel vision, where everything feels like you're just, you can't see all the, you know, off ramps and the opportunities that, you know, on the periphery. When you can be a little more relaxed about it, and you can kind of mentally sit back and go, okay, all right, now I'm a little calmer place. Now I can actually think about what some options are, that's where the opportunity is. It's one of those, how can I do this now? Just do it. Just start right now. Take that step, that little step. If your gut's telling you something, if you've been having this thought, trust your gut. How now? Do it right now. Take that first step. Yep.
Right. That's it. I love it. I love it because that, and that's the, like I said, the premise behind the whole show. It's not what now, it's how now.
Yes.
You know, we know what happened. We see what happened, you know, the situation is taking place, but now? How do we navigate beyond that?
Yeah.
Because we know what happened back then. We know what now, but how now?
It's so funny that you said that, because even if you just say the two things, what now seems almost fatalistic, like, oh no, what now?
Right.
How now is so opportunity laden. I love that you named your show that, because a lot of times people do, like, something happens and it's like, okay, what now? Instead of, okay, how now do I go forward with this? You know, how do I learn from it? Like, how is so possibility rich? You know, it's dripping with possibility. And I love that. I think it's brilliant. Yeah.
That's what I did.
Yep.
because that's exactly what it is. It's how do we get to that place of result? Because that's like you said, adversity is going to happen. You know, our life is not a sprint. It's a journey. It's going to be riddled with adversity and with missteps and with stumbles and a few falls, you know. But what are we going to do?
Yeah.
How are we going to navigate out of that? So that way, if we come back to it again, or if we double back, or something happens, we have the tools.
Yep.
To have what we need.
Yes.
You know?
Yes.
It's not like certain things haven't happened under the sun. Like, I work in the childcare industry. You know, children have been biting since they had teeth. So it's not, oh my goodness, he bit that child. What now? He bit that child. Okay. Children have been biting children for years. Okay.
Yeah.
How do we address that?
Yeah.
How? Again, it's all about proactivity, not reactivity, but proactivity.
Absolutely. And learning those new skills and developing those new tools is so important, because again, if it's all like the what now, you know, then you probably have like one tool in that toolbox. And if that one tool is, say, a screwdriver or a hammer, right? Every problem is going to look like a nail because you only have the hammer, instead of you have a bunch of different tools and now you have different ways to address an event or a situation that's happening. And now we think about, okay, what does that look like? What do I have that I can go to in my personal like toolbox to say, I can use this to help solve that problem, to make that a little bit easier. And you have a choices. Yeah.
Right. That's right. Because sometimes, yes, it requires a screwdriver, but sometimes it requires a Phillips head screwdriver and then a flathead screwdriver.
Exactly.
So, I mean, you ain't there, but just like you said, I love that you said, look, I have to write that down. You said every situation, you said, if all you have is a hammer, every situation is going to look like a nail.
Absolutely.
I love that. I'm just like, ding. That resonated with me because, you're going to look at, and everything is not going to require that hammer. It may require a screwdriver or a wrench or something like that. So, you have to be diverse in those tools that you have in order to address the situation.
Absolutely.
Just like they said, what is the definition of insanity? When you keep thinking, you know, the same situation, you think that, you know, you keep trying to hit it with that hammer and it's already trying to tell you, no, it's not, it's a screw, it's not a nail. You need a screwdriver, you don't need a hammer. But you keep on hammering it and expecting a different result.
Exactly.
You're not going to get a different result using the same tool. So we have to be creative and be open to realizing that there's more than one way to do something.
Oh, definitely.
You know?
And the other thing too is you're not, maybe you can't determine the right way on your, maybe you need somebody else to show you a way or their way. And then maybe you can modify their way. Maybe their way is great, but maybe a subtle tweak would work better for you. You never know. That's another reason why opening yourself up to other people and experiences, don't shy away from experience just because you've had bad ones.
Right.
Because again, that's going to happen, but what do you take from it? What do you learn from it? You know, what do you walk away with from that?
Yeah. There you go. Well, look, the opportunities are endless.
They really are.
The opportunities are endless, you know, for us to be able to grow, for us to be able to move from spaces of fear to spaces of intellect and knowledge, and then being able to get to a space of growth from there where we can reach back and help others, you know? It's so vital. It's so a part of that circle of life, of how we are to navigate in this space, so that way we're always finding new ways of doing things that are going to help to bring us back to center, to bring us back to that homeostasis, so that way, you know, we're functioning at an optimal level. We're not putting ourselves in, you know, or putting up boundaries or putting up, you know, barriers that are going to keep us from being where we need to be. So, I mean, I absolutely love this topic. I love that we're talking about, you know, the gifts and opportunities and how important it is in establishing relationships, how important it is in helping us to be able to move forward and to respond instead of react to things that are happening around us. So, oh my goodness, what you do is it's a blessing. What you have experienced and what you have shared with us has been inspirational to me. And you know, I hope that it's been, you know, a source of inspiration to others, to let them know that, you know, there are gifts and things that happen. There are opportunities for us to be able to grow and to learn, you know, go through these experiences. So thank you, Rachel, so much for being here and for talking about this. But please tell people how they can get in contact with you if they're interested in learning a little bit more. I want you to, you know, peel back a couple of those layers.
Yeah, no problem. So my website is a little bit of a mouthful, but it is careerinsightsconsulting.com. And that's insights with an S. And that is my company. And so they can get in touch with me there, but they can also, I have a YouTube channel that's actually called The Plight, like PLIGHT, The Plight Attendant. And it's basically sort of problem solving. How can we look at things in a different way? So those are the two main things. If anybody wants to email me, it's just my first name, Gretchen, at Career Insights Consulting. And and again, I'm on LinkedIn, just my name, Gretchen Skalka. So I'm not as consistent as I should be probably with all those different names, but you know, the best and easiest ways are probably going to be YouTube or LinkedIn. Yeah.
Yes. And you know, I love that, the flight attendant, you know, I am a big person of play on words. So I'm just like, yes. So
yeah.
check it out. I mean, it's wonderful. So make sure that you go on YouTube and subscribe to The Plight Attendant. That's with a P.
That's right.
The Plight Attendant. Okay. So check it out. Okay. Now, one other question that I always ask every guest at the end of the show is, how are you living in the now? How are you navigating in space?
I do meditate. I've been doing it since 2014. And so I actually try to do different kinds. So I'll do walking meditations. I'll do 5-second meditations. A lot of people think you have to do it for a certain amount of time in a certain space, and you have to have the right music and all that. And, you know, your mat that you, but no, for me, I try to do it to pepper it in my day.
Yeah.
So I actually have 5 minutes, 10 minutes where I'll do like a mental exercise. And what I try to do is I use box breathing. And so it's not necessarily the 4-4-4, but it's like literally trying to mentally picture yourself breathing in a box pattern.
Yeah.
And what that does is it takes my focus away from all of this into that. And after a while that evaporates. And now I'm literally just like calm. Yeah. And it's a way to really clear my head, but I love meditating. And I think it's a word that a lot of people think is associated with one specific thing, but you can meditate. I've done an eating meditation where I tried to eat a grape in 10 minutes instead of 30 seconds.
Wow.
Where I really like took the time to all the nuances of the texture and the temperature of it, everything in addition to the taste. Anything can be, I've learned that anything can be used as a meditation. If it helps you clear and steady your mind, That's meditating. Yep.
That's it. That's it. Oh my goodness. Like I said, so many wonderful nuggets. So many things. I hope people, you know, even if you're catching the replay, please pen and paper. Okay. Because the things that you have shared have definitely been, you know, a few aha moments, a few takeaways. And that's always what we're doing. We're just creating platforms for people to really grow and learn.
Yeah.
You know, that's what How Now is all about. You know,
yeah.
That's where the gifts of opportunity are all about. It's all about how can we grow ourselves as individuals, you know?
Yeah.
How can we take ourselves you know, to a space where we're thriving as individuals,
yes,
as beings, you know, here, you know, and then how can we in turn share that with others? So thank you again so much for being with me, Gretchen. I appreciate it.
Thank you for having me.
It's a wonderful conversation. And as I tell all of my guests, you are now part of the How Now family. You're always welcome to come back, because what's happening right now in your world may not be happening 2 minutes, 2 hours, 2 days, 2 months, 2 years from now. So you can always come back, because there's always something to talk about. We are multifaceted people. We're not one dimensional. So there may be other things that are going on, and we're always happy to have you come back and share that with us. So again, thank you so much for being here. It's been a true pleasure. Thanks again.
Thank you.
And that will do it for this edition of the How Now podcast, where we talk about how to live in the now. And until I see you all next time, stay peace.